and welcome to Hard to Say Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Boys and girls, mm-hmm. we're here to help you through one of the hardest times in your life, and that specifically is when your favorite TV show goes off the air. Then we said that.
Really
your favorite
weird.
TV show. You know, my favorite TV show, man. It's,
damn it. I thought I had a really good intro there. Trisha, how you doing?
Good. I don't know that I have a TV show, but I'm doing great.
The pair of shoes you wear when you watch TV?
No.
I can't recover from that. DJ, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I liked your... we've got Ben Haley here with us. We got Big Appa back from
What's
the
up?
Last episode.
Mm-hmm. Ben Haley said, "Good day, mates. Are you from the other side of the planet?
Are Welcome. You from Austria?
Austria.
Oh, man.
I feel like they filmed Game of Thrones there.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great if that's how people. I feel like this is how that happened. And mm-hmm. you know, anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. So this and Sam, do you have a summary for this episode that
Ooh.
We're talking about
today? Ooh. We're talking about Game of Thrones season 1, episode yes. 7. You win or you lose. Those are usually the only options.
You win or you die.
Oh, interesting. Well, I had something else in the brain when I wrote that down, didn't I? Because you just looked. Yeah. Anyways, we're going to talk about you win or you lose instead. Ned confronts Cersei about her children, but she dismisses his allegations. The head of the Lannister clan tells his son, Jaime, to be a leader and sends him to rescue Tyrion. Roz, thank you. The prostitute from Winterfell begins working for Littlefinger in a scene I don't like in King's Landing. At the Wall, a riderless horse belonging to Jon Snow's Uncle Benjen returns to the Wall. Jon takes his vows as the Night Watchman, but is disappointed to not having been named a ranger, but Sam sees it differently. King Robert is injured while out boar hunting with his brother. He knows he will not survive and names Ned Lord Regent until Joffrey comes of age. Knowing that Joffrey is not Robert's son, he feels Robert's brother should secede him, but Littlefinger's council thinks otherwise. A wine vendor tries to poison Daenerys, and Drogo promises to put their son on the throne of the Seven Kingdoms.
Another bunch of great moments. I will say, when I first watched this episode, when they're like, "Oh, Robert's dead," you're like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah, it was quick.
Because you didn't. I guess at the time, I didn't like. Oh, he's injured, and there was this stuff. But for some reason, it didn't feel like.
Well, because most shows don't just kill off the like main good guys that without a thought.
Yeah,
yeah. And with
off camera. Yeah, off camera.
Well, and
even.
There are so many deaths in the book that occur without you seeing them.
Yeah.
That's I feel like one of the hallmarks of the series, because then a lot of times we see that being used where an ambiguous assumed death ends up not being a death at all.
Yeah.
But yeah,
not
that's,
in Robert's
that's hallmark
case.
For this series. but yeah, Robert's one of our big die off screen ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was, and again, things are, it's plot mechanics, machinations are happening very quickly. Things are escalating very quickly. And you see one of, it's interesting rewatching now that if Robert had listened to Ned, because he listens to Ned now, he's like, you know, let's try and stop the poisoning of the girl and it's too late. You think about like, if he hadn't done that, then he might have never ended up on the, because that moment is what motivates Drogo to take her desire seriously. Because there's a scene earlier where she's like, this is what I want. And he's like, he, it's so out of his reality that he can't almost even conceive of what that would mean, like to go over across the sea and fight other people.
For a chair.
Yeah.
And I love that he doesn't even have a name for what he's talking about.
Yeah, there's no word for it.
Also, man, am I dumb. I've only watched the show twice now, but I did not. I have no idea why I never connected that the poisoning that almost happens is because of what they plan. That didn't connect. And I was like, uh-oh, Jorah is really perceptive that this dude is really shady. And I was like, good on you, Jorah. Like, even though you're being shady yourself, I'm like, oh, good. Like, that makes sense. No, obviously, there's like a clear... If you watch the tape back, my eyes just go really big when you said that. I was like, oh my God, this show is so smart. But it's like, no, they literally talked about it for 4 episodes before this happens. I just didn't know it was going to be this random wine vendor.
Because there's a lot happening, and it's, I think it's a credit to the show that it really trusts its audience to like keep up with what's going on. So especially when you were watching the first time, you were watching the current season while you're watching the past season. It's a lot to keep track of. You know what I mean? Also, this is a scene we were talking about a little bit before where it's like, so Jorah's like, hey, he gives him the information to get Dany poisoned, and then he sees that it's happening and he has a change of heart. Instead of just knocking the wine off the cart and like, or losing the wine, he's like, no, I'm gonna straight throw this motherfucker under the bus, like, and reveal him to be. And it's like, you didn't need to. They basically tortured that guy to death. He didn't, and he's there because of you, dude. Like,
see, and I interpreted that a little differently. So what I interpreted that as is that Jorah was being an informant to say, yes, she's pregnant. Like, yes, you know, the call's going to do whatever for this baby. Yes, they found out it's a son, and here's our location. Mm-hmm. Not that Jorah was like, hey, we're going to go to this market on this day, so if you have this wine vendor ready to poison her, that would be great.
But he's under the assumption that they're going to try and kill her, right?
I don't know. That's what, okay. I just thought he was being an informant and giving his information, maybe. Not that he was party to any of their motivations.
Maybe, okay.
Unless that little note when he got pardoned, like there's an asterisk and it was like, oh, by the way, Dan is in there, so they're going to be killed by that guy. And there's an arrow on the paper pointing to the vendor.
I assume that if they're giving him a pardon, that means his work as informant is done and they no longer need his services.
So that's what clues him in.
Why would they no longer need his services unless they were planning on offing Danny?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I thought he and put so
that's
it together.
When so that's when he realizes that offing Danny is on the menu, whereas before, right. That may not have been, because I was under the assumption that he was always thinking Danny was going to be killed, and then he changes his mind. But again, that guy's only there doing that because of you. But if he didn't know that, then there's less responsibility on his end. Like, hey man, I didn't know you were going to come here and poison anybody. So, right.
And I thought he made the wine merchant drink it to figure out if he was actually going to. I think he was like, you're being shady.
Yeah.
So why don't you drink it? Let's see. Like, I think he was also trying to prove it, not necessarily just like, oh, I'm going to make sure they get this guy.
Yeah, because you got to be honest. It really does help put him in Danny's good graces.
Mm-hmm.
It makes him look real good.
Yeah, no, you guys are a lot smarter than me. If you wanted the dumb opinion, go ahead and tune into when I start talking.
Because
you guys are more perceptive. I was like, man, George just, he's got like James Bond, like level, like perception of what's happening around. Like, I'm so unaware when like people are mad at me, but he just knew when one random dude wanted to poison this queen. Man.
But also, like, this is probably why I would have a hard time watching the show live with you guys, because I will stop and rewind every scene and watch it multiple times if there's anything I think I missed. Like, I get crazy with Game of Thrones. I'm horrible to watch this show with. So normally if we have people over to watch it, I will watch it at 6 so that I can have watched it and done my rewind and rewatches several times before other people get here, so I don't interrupt their experience.
And so then you're the one that you're just sitting there, and then when something big's about to happen, you're like,
oh, I'm always that person. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did you think about that part?
What did you think about that?
Big death coming in 3, 2. There you go.
No, you can't spoil it for everyone else, but
timer comes up on the TV. Like, what's that? Don't worry about it.
Oh, don't
worry.
I do love watching people's reactions when I know what's coming.
What was I watching? Weirdly enough, Isle of Dogs. There's a joke in Isle of Dogs that my wife or Jaw literally hit the floor, which I know it did when I watched it too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a so completely, on, totally, it's a completely different.
Okay.
Barely.
Yeah.
Basically the same thing. But no, we, in this episode, like we mentioned, King Robert's dead, and you see, and I was surprised that like they seemed to start setting up, or maybe it was more surprising how Peter Baelish like and Ned were becoming so chummy in this episode, or at least it looked like it.
Yeah.
Because it's set up so far that like Peter's a little shit.
I mean, up until this point, we have no reason to believe that he's not loyal to Catelyn.
Yeah, I think he falls.
So, yeah, I think I just don't trust him.
I didn't trust him in general.
Well, you shouldn't. Yeah. I mean, he straight up says you shouldn't trust me a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
However, we think that he's loyal to the Starks because of Catelyn.
Yeah.
And I think you perceive it correctly especially when he has that scene that everyone hates so much, where he's telling his backstory to the prostitutes he's giving a lesson to, where he says, you know, I was in love with this girl, and like, we have no reason not to believe that any of that's true. So you think if he's so in love with Catelyn, then he would help the Stark family as a whole.
And it does lay a lot of groundwork for his motivation and the betrayal and everything. Mm-hmm. But it is, I think when I was first watching it, I didn't trust him per se, but I think he fell under the Tyrion category of a pragmatic person that you can't really trust so much, but isn't evil. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously changes in this episode. Yeah, that rewatching the show, I know when I first watched it, that scene, Game of Thrones early seasons were famous for what was called their sex position scenes where it's like it's straight up an exposition dump while two people mm-hmm. are having sex in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like a few episodes when you're first watching, you're like, oh, Baelish and his backstory. And now I just feel bad for those actresses. Props to Roz, though, that actress, because she's gone on. She's popped up in a bunch of things.
She
showed up on Krypton. She showed up on Supergirl.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. She's popping on a bunch of stuff where she gets to keep her clothes on. And I'm that's cool.
Yeah, I actually had the opposite experience that you did, where you said the first time you watched it, you were all about the exposition, and the second time you felt bad for the actresses. The first time I watched it, I felt bad for the actresses, just because I was like, oh, what an...
It's a lot.
It's so
specific, and the camera's capturing, like, a lot of
it.
It's a lot.
It's super softcore,
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And they don't really get a lot of great acting moments in the scene other than that. So I felt like that the first time. But the second time watching it, the part that kind of made me say, oh, I think I know what they were going for, besides just Hollywood loves to put sex scenes in things, is when Peter says at the end of his whole story, just as they're also finishing, mm-hmm. Peter says, and that's when I learned that you have to fuck them, not fight them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or however he exactly phrases that. But
same,
it's,
the intent. You're,
that,
the intent
that's
fact.
It. That's what he says. And so he's saying it like he's telling them, you know, don't be combative. Don't think that you're winning.
Yeah.
You need to manipulate the men, much in the same way that he's learned he can't fight them. It needs to be a mental game.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I know. Now I see what they were going for with the scene. Not that I necessarily would have done it that way myself, but at least I could understand what the justification was for that
maybe
scene.
Tone it down a little bit. I just
tone it down,
lie.
Or have
just
it happening in another room, and maybe you hear it, and it's more like him just talking to somebody else. I don't know.
I'm all for nudity on my shows and everything, but it's just a lot.
That's another level.
They had to do a lot of takes of that too. I bet.
Yeah,
anyway,
from all different angles. That's what I was like. Ooh, yeah, girl,
there was
I'm
a choreographer
so
for that.
Yeah, Big Alpha says she's on the show Magicians too. I'm assuming we're talking about Roz again. She's a really good actress. But it's insight into Baelish's stuff, and I was surprised about the turn of events, because again you're used to watching other shows where when the protagonist puts that much thought into a decision, it usually works out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's usually when they do something boneheaded or they're not thinking where things work out. And it's different when you're watching a show where they're thinking about it. He's presented, because this is the episode where he dies, so he's presented with like three options. Mm-hmm. And Renly makes a good presentation, but then he bungles it by saying, I should be king. It's like, Renly, damn it, you son of a bitch. Don't just keep that.
Acting like a baby.
Yeah, don't keep that off the menu.
Yeah, now it just seems like you're vying for the throne.
Exactly. And you had Ned for a second. And so then Ned makes a decision. And I guess maybe this is like, I relate to that. It's like if I was in Ned's position and Renly came to that presentation, I'd be into it. And then Renly would say that and I'd back out.
Right,
I think he's
being
the shady one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then like, you know, he makes the decision that me as an audience member, I would make. And it is the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, I don't want to take kids out of their homes and bloodshed. And you're like, yeah, Ned, good job. And especially
it's too nice.
Two episodes later, you're like, no, fuck that kid. Who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah. And then when Peter comes in to talk to Ned and kind of present his way out of it, I love that he keeps using the word we.
Yeah.
Because it's not a like, if we partner on this, it's an assumed, well, we're obviously going to take on this situation together. We're a united front.
Because he's ingratiated himself into that.
Yeah.
Circle.
And he just says, you know, if you choose Stannis, it's going to mean war. So obviously we can't choose Stannis. Mm-hmm. And
the most boring dude in the whole damn world.
Do you think if because there's two people that Ned is presented to, like, hey, maybe not Stannis. How do you think things would have played out differently with Baelish if Ned had sided with him on his strategy, on Baelish's strategy of not Stannis? Because I think in watching it again, Baelish and Renly's proposition is roughly similar. Like, not Stannis, maybe Renly. And we take the kids hostage.
No, I feel like, and this is actually another big book difference, Peter's plan in this moment.
Oh.
It's a little more fleshed out in the books. But in the series, what I think I remember him saying in the series is that he's like, well, we need to take Joffrey.
Yes.
We need to manipulate and control Joffrey, and that's the move. So he's saying, not Stannis, keep with Joffrey, but make him our puppet.
Okay.
Is what Peter's plan is
so
in the series.
Do things work out better for Ned if he's like, okay.
Yeah, I think for Ned, in his mind, he's just like, well, Joffrey's not the true king.
Yeah.
So I don't think he can even entertain that idea.
Yeah.
Do I think that would have been a smarter play? Maybe. And although, how successful would he have been at removing Joffrey from Cersei?
Yeah.
When Cersei's already like, the Starks are our enemies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think at this point, like, they're really, because you want to say, you're watching this, you're like, no, go with Renly's decision. Like, Renly. It wouldn't have worked out with Renly. It wouldn't have worked out. You know what I mean?
I think Renly may have been a fairer king. Yes.
Yes, but all the machinations around them, a Shadow Lady would have snuck into the King's Landing then. You know what I mean? Like,
spoiler.
But I think the only thing that could have made this better is you rewind time and you don't tell Cersei. Because the implication is, this is an episode away from now, but later on, this is the first time catching it, the implication is that the wheels to kill Robert were put into motion once Cersei found out Ned knew. The implication is it's Ned's fault that Robert is dead.
Interesting.
And so if he had just kept that information to himself.
That's an interesting way to interpret that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait till we'll talk about that in more detail.
The next episode. Okay. Anyway.
That's very cool. We have a question here from Ben Haley, who's actually watching live as well. So thank you for joining us. Hey, guys. Loving the show all the way in Australia. My question is, what did you think of Tywin's scene with Jaime?
Oh, such a good scene.
Where he skins the stag and the little nods to the House Baratheon. One of the most unsettling scenes for me, and I don't know how they pulled it off. Yeah, it was very interesting.
Disemboweling a stag.
A stag.
Skinning it, too.
Yes. Like the Baratheon scissors.
Yes.
And he puts it on, he wears it, he hops around, makes fun of Robert.
Yeah, Tywin is actually one of my favorite characters, even though he's a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't like him as a person, but as a character.
He's very consistent.
Yeah, he's super pragmatic. It's funny how, of his kids, Tyrion's the most like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's just got a little bit of that Cersei evil. None of the Jaime's wanting nobility thing. He doesn't really give a shit about that, which he makes clear in that scene. He doesn't give a shit about any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just super, he's dangerously pragmatic, but like you appreciate, like at least he's not scheming and shit. Like he's just, this is what we're doing. And you're like,
I love that he just straight up is like, why didn't you kill Ned?
Yeah.
Like that he says that was his plan. I do think though that it's very, he has conflicting ideals. I think Jaime brings up a really good point when he's like, so you don't care about what people think of us, but you do care about what people think of us.
Yeah.
Like Jaime points out that contradiction and then he's like, no, people, I don't care what people think about us, but we must be feared or something like that. And I'm like, that's caring what people think of you, but okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
Okay. But I mean, Tywin's just so scary that Jaime's like,
yeah, man.
Okay. Yeah,
that actor's so good.
Mm-hmm.
The actor that plays Tywin.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
Probably most famous for Last Action Hero.
Oh, really?
I don't know. He's not most famous for that, but yeah, he is in that.
He is in that. Yeah. That is super.
Doesn't he have the smiley face eye?
Yeah, or it changes.
Yeah.
It's
a great movie.
Also in Dracula Untold, or whatever that one was.
Give a good shout out to Dracula Untold. Yeah, the most recent attempt at a Dracula movie. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of those Game of Thrones actors that like get shit roles and not good movies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I guess good that you're working. You're so good here. You know what I mean? So I'm bummed that you don't get to do more of that really good stuff.
Real quick, let's take a look up or north to the wall because we get a horse coming back without Benjen, but it's Benjen's horse.
Yes.
And we find out that John is not going to be a ranger. He's going to be Steward.
And not just any Steward.
Mm-hmm.
Commander Mormont Steward.
I think this is a good moment for Sam because Sam really comes through in the clutch because John's throwing a little hissy fit about it. And then Sam's the one that's like, hey, man, you're not paying attention to what this actually means.
Yeah, I think Sam is first presented as kind of a like whiny, cowardly fool. And you're like, what is the use for this guy?
Yeah. People have said that to me a lot. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, then you'll like this because slowly we figure out that Sam is the brains of the whole operation up there.
Yeah.
He gets another. I don't know if that translates, but thank you.
Okay, he also
gets a good moment next episode where he's kind of like ahead of the curve of everybody. Like, hey, this is what this is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's 100% what he knows. Yeah. And calming John down in this scene. And he's like, you were handpicked by the commander, dummy.
Yeah.
So yeah, really nice Sam moments there.
Also, it really looks like being a ranger sucks. I know it's supposed to be the big heroic one, but of the things, it really looks awful.
Yeah, well, no, it's not good. It's not fun.
I guess it's that like I came up here because I wanted to fight and defend and don't make me clean kitchen pots. Like, I mean, I kind of get it.
Don't worry, John. You're kind of a main character. It's going it's gonna happen for you,
all
right?
You'll get what you want, but it's not going like, to be what
more,
you think.
In more ways than one.
Mm. You'll be fine.
And I do like the scene when they're giving their oath in front of the tree to the old gods. It's a sweet scene. I mean, it's not sweet. It's just this really cool, regal moment where I'm like, okay, yeah. I like this part of I like this aspect of Game of Thrones so far. That's cool.
I also completely forgot about this until the rewatch, but that moment where John's like, I just always wanted to be a ranger. And Sam's like, yeah, well, I always wanted to be a wizard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ha ha!
This is not proven out yet, but like... I kind of thought that was foreshadowing because, you know, with dragons coming back and magic returns, it's like, maybe he could be. And then he was going to be trained with the Meisters. And I thought like, oh, and that it hasn't panned out. But like magic's now a part of this world. So theoretically, endgame, he could become a wizard.
The closest we have to people that use magic are people like Bran or wargs or something like that. But we don't really have traditional wizards yet. Okay, maybe. You know what? Candy in the
exactly.
jar.
Exactly. That's the one.
Candy in the
That's the one that
jar.
I thought was foreshadowing because like magic comes back and he's with the Maesters and maybe he could pick up a book that's like, hey, here's how to be a wizard. And he's like, dope.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He comes in, he flies in and fights the ice dragon. Spoilers. Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Another thing we haven't talked about yet in this episode is when Robert and Ned are alone on Robert's deathbed, and he's like, "Get out a pen. I want you to write this down." I'm like, "Why would he do that? Just the two of them?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he have said that in front of the entire council?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, God damn it!
But
Robert.
I think it wouldn't have changed anything for me. I don't think it would have changed anything. Cersei made her decision at the end of the episode. Like it wasn't going to affect anything, and everybody else was like. Even if this had his unbroken seal, like they were like, Cersei said no, so it's a no.
I think that it would have been a lot harder if, yes, it's an unbroken seal, so they assume it was written by him, but it's very easy for her to tear up a piece of paper. I think it would be a lot harder for her to tear up, like, their memory of him dying.
To be fair, he did mention he stinks, his wound stinks, so, you know, you might not want to have company right then.
Open a window.
Yeah, I do like that. Something I noticed this time is it's a really good Barristan moment when, like, Ned calls Sir Barristan forward and the seal, unbroken, and then he reads it, and then when she goes to tear up, he's like, but that was the king's words. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my.
Yeah, because Barristan's a good dude.
He's a good dude.
Sir Barristan Selmy is a good knight.
He has a good scene in the next episode that I really enjoy. And even though I knew the fate of Ned going into watching this the first time last year, the final scene is still just shocking. Even rewatching, I was like,
yeah.
Just a little gasp when you. And also, like, I like that he's prepared that it's like, no, this isn't going to be this isn't going to be easy what we're about to do. Like, he's preparing his men for when they go in there. But you're like, probably you're not going to get out of this.
Well, and it's another moment where it looks like Ned's thinking ahead. When Robert's giving the words, he doesn't put in Joffrey's name. He puts in my true heir. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not being dumb.
And instead of saying like, no, we're going to do the completely honorable thing, he works with Baelish to be like, I'm going to pay the Kingsguard.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's playing the game a little bit.
A little bit.
Just not well enough.
Yeah.
Well, and Peter really screws him over. Because
hardcore.
Think about it. I mean, he thinks he has it figured out.
Yeah.
And Peter just straight up lied to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if only known, he should have just chatted with Varys, man.
Could have helped. Yeah. Could have helped a little bit.
Yeah. Well, but again, at this point, I don't think anybody, as an audience member, I don't know if I trusted Varys. And it turns out, of the people there, it's like, no, that's the guy you should have talked to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I thought was interesting rewatching it is Varys and Peter are pretty, like, chummy during this last scene.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Varys totally knows what's going to happen, doesn't he?
Hmm.
That was my question, is do you think that Varys knows going into that final scene that's how it's going to go down?
No, I didn't think that.
You don't think so?
I didn't think that, but also you guys are being way more perceptive than me, so I don't know. Like, for me, Sam,
we've watched it a few times.
I did not think that he was aware. I thought it was just Peter and Ned, and that was it. And so,
and
like,
the Lannisters.
And the Lannisters, yeah.
You know who's not helpful? Pysel.
Why?
He's not helping anybody.
I wonder what his deal is.
No. We learned some of what his deal is, at least later. Yeah.
I always wanted to learn more about him.
We haven't mentioned Khal Drogo's big monologue in this episode.
Wait, is this... No, this isn't... because
this is his big monologue.
Yeah. and it's really cool.
And it's really cool.
And Jason Momoa does a really good job with it.
And I've heard, based on the interviews with Jason Momoa, that a lot of his movement and inflection in that scene are inspired by the traditional Hakka dance.
Cool. Mm.
So, and I think that was actually his audition for this character, was a Hakka dance.
Very
so
cool.
If you ever look up that video, it's online. You can find it. It's really cool to watch. But yeah, rewatching it, I was like, that's the Hakka. And it's real cool.
Yeah, he does a really good job. Again, like you mentioned before, it's primarily in a fake language, doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And he really sells you on this guy as a ruler, and he gets another great moment in the next episode that I'm excited to talk about.
Another thing I'll say during the rewatch, when Sam and John take their knight's oath, mm-hmm. It like the words mean so much more now. I don't mm-hmm. know. It like gave me goosebumps listening to the Same. Words now yeah. that I know what their job and responsibility and calling really is,
yeah.
as opposed to, that's just where we send our criminals.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was very cool.
I remember when they were like right about they were going to announce like everyone's roles.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the leader is like listing off what everyone's done, and it was like, oh man, there's a lot of bad people here. It's like rapists, murderers,
yeah.
deserters, outcasts, and I'm like, wow, they just kind of catch all, isn't it? Like some of these people, you know what? Not everyone here's a friend. Not everyone here is. Yeah.
They're
not brothers.
All brothers now.
They are now, but like. Sometimes you don't talk to all your family. You know what I mean?
Big yeah. Apa says Sam and Pod are his personal heroes of the show. And Ben Hanley adds Gendry.
And Gendry.
Yeah.
No, definitely agree. But any final thoughts on episode 7? Because I'm episode 8. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm itching to talk about episode 8.
Ooh, you're itching.
I'm itching.
I'm excited as well. Trisha?
No, I covered everything that I wanted to cover for You Win or You Die. I guess the only thing I really didn't talk about is the Cersei-Ned conversation. Did we?
It's
I don't
really
think we got
good.
Super hard into that. But Cersei and Ned, where Ned makes maybe his big blunder that leads to his death and says, like,
was that
hey,
this episode or
that's
last
this episode?
Episode. Oops.
Yeah, that's yeah. this episode. And he says, this is, like, I figured it out.
Yeah.
And I you think should get you should take here. Your kids and get out of here. And he's doing it because he's trying to be nice and not have child death happen. That's why he does it, to try to avoid killing kids.
Mm. And for two of those kids, I appreciate that. One of those kids, that kid should have been chucked down a window.
It makes me so mad. But he thinks he has the authority in that moment.
Typical man, am I right?
But no, and I mean, and Cersei even kind of plays into it.
Yeah.
She doesn't say like, oh, you're so screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of insinuates that at the end, but for the most part, she's like, how can you prove it? Like, for the most part, she's playing
into... Which is how I think you'd handle that situation back then, because like, you know, I read it, Black of Hair, and she's like, no. Okay, well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to do now, because you're right. Yeah. That's as far as this can go.
Yeah.
Like, as far as like real proof goes, I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, the more... conniving person playing the game would have never revealed their hand like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was trying to prevent kid death.
Yeah, he's just not
a good guy.
He's not equipped for the hard, harsh north. He's good at this, all this bullshit.
Hey, maybe he can get out of it. We'll have to wait.
We'll have to wait and see. All right.
So that's episode 7.
Episode 7. Trisha, where can they find you?
Ooh, you can find me on the internets at That Girl Trish with no I in the girl.
DJ
talks trash every place that matters.
Nice. Sam Basher, everywhere that matters. Go to onlystupidanswers.com for the full schedule for all these episodes. And our live streams and all the Only Stupid Answer stuff. Maybe even grab yourself a t-shirt while you're at it. But we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ooh, that was another sweet episode of Hard to Say Goodbye. We hope you guys enjoyed. But make sure you check out patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. That's how we keep this show going, boys and girls. For just $1 a month, you can get these episodes a whole freaking month early. One whole month. That's 1 month and $1. One month, $1. Remember that when you check out the website. But also, we do a bonus episode where we compare the books to the series, which is amazing as well. We also do watch-alongs where we watch the episodes live, and you can join us when we do that. There's Google Hangouts. There's so many goodies that you're not going to want to miss out on. So check that out while you can. DJ?
Yes.
Final thoughts?
Thank you all for joining us. Please go support us at patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. We are so excited to be building this community, and we would love it if you joined us as we prepare ourselves for the final season of Game of Thrones.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.